As you all know, I read things to my husband, and this is something that I read to him the other day, and he asked me to share it with you this morning. It was part of my devotional from my class yesterday morning, and if I had a dry erase board, I would write on the board what I wrote for them. But imagine this. I wrote, Oswald Chambers would call this rugged reality. That's what we're in, rugged reality. And when people come to see a professional counselor, they have an ideal ahead. So there's a space between that rugged reality and the ideal. And our job then is to help them bridge that gap a little bit, or at least get them going in that direction. But there is also an ultimate kingdom that we as aching visionaries try to see. It's God's new day. It's his perfect promises, and those are ahead. And so there's another goal. But this is one of the things that I read to the students yesterday, and I think that it might be helpful to you all as well. It's written by Adolfo Quesada, who's a professional counselor. I like his writings. One of the reasons I think I like him is that in his story, he has lost a son. And so I pay attention to people like that. But here's something that he said that makes a lot of sense to me and is encouraging to me, and I think to my students, hopefully to you as well. Life has beginnings and endings, deaths and resurrections. In your life, there may be unfulfilled yearnings. Your peace will depend on the acceptance of these unfulfillments. Discard the unrealistic expectations and appreciate what is actual in your life instead of constantly looking at what ought to be. Work from reality and release the tension that comes from discontentment. God helps you to let go of unfulfilled dreams and expectations. God helps you dream new dreams and hope new hopes. Let go of control. Surrender it to the love and mercy of God. And from the back of your devotional, I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And from Isaiah 26:3 on the inside of your devotional, you, God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. And may God add his blessing to that reading of his word.
Past few weeks, we've been talking about prayer. And we're talking about how to pray. And remember, by way of review, that repentance gives access to God. Prayer gives the experience of God. And I've thought a lot about this topic, born from some issues, necessities in my life of this topic of prayer and how to pray. And to answer that question, I think we need to know ask another question. What is prayer? When you think of prayer, what do you think of? Well, the answer is that prayer is communication with God. Which brings up another question. Well, it's not just communication with a God. It's communication with an all-powerful sovereign God. Because there are many gods out there. And the prayer that we're talking about is communication with the Creator Covenant God, the all-powerful sovereign God. And the other question that brings up then, why, what is God's intended purpose for our communication with Him? What is His purpose? In a word, well, what's your purpose for communication with others? What's your purpose? Why do you communicate with other people? For God, communication with an all-powerful sovereign God, the purpose that He intends is, in a word, change. Change. Communication or prayer is a change agent. It is God's prescribed method to change things and to change people. Now, we most often think of prayer as to change circumstances, situations, or events, don't you? That's what communication with God is for. Change circumstances, situations, or events. And it certainly can, and it certainly does. But I have prayed about things in my life. I have asked God through communication to change circumstances, situation, and events, and it hasn't happened. So there must be another reason that God wants us to communicate with Him. We cannot communicate with an all-powerful sovereign God and not be changed. That's impossible. Prayer has two purposes. And both of them involve change. Change events or change us. Now, let's talk about changing events. See this person right here? You know who that is, Joni? Okay, well, this is Sherrick Davis. This is my grandfather. I never knew him. Sherrick Davis, Reverend Sherrick Davis. And let me tell you a story about this, about prayer and about changing things. This was published in the Belleville Star a few years ago, that in the late 1920s, right here at Butler, you're familiar with the weekly car dealership? Well, the founder of that was named A.W. Weekly. And that was in the 1920s. And my grandfather, Sherrick, had a church in Butler, Mount Sinai Church, right there on Main Street in Butler. And A.W. Weekly, the founder of the car dealership, which is still there today, and his family still owns that today, he became deathly ill with appendicitis, A.W. Weekly. And at that time, you know, medicine was in its rudimentary stages, and the doctor came into the house there on Main Street in Butler to do surgery right there in the house on A.W. Weekly. And he did the surgery, and it went poorly. And A.W. Weekly developed what is called peritonitis. Peritonitis is a full-blown infection that gets into the abdominal cavity. This was a death sentence. If you had peritonitis, there was no hope. So the doctor who performed the surgery closed up A.W. Weekly's abdomen, and he told the family, he says, "Well, I'm afraid he's developed peritonitis." He said, "There's no hope." He said, "All we can do now is just wait for him to pass." Well, the family. And A.W. Weekly at that time was not a believer, did not go to church anywhere. And so they contacted Sherrick, my grandfather. And Sherrick also lived in Butler, and so he walks down the street. He comes into the house of A.W. Weekly. And he goes to his bedside, And fortunately, AW Weekly was still, at that time, was conscious and was able to communicate. And my grandfather, Sherrick, just a young man at the time, talked to AW Weekly about praying for God healing, praying for God's healing. And my grandfather, Sherrick, prayed right then and there for him that God would heal him of this peritonitis. And A.W. Weekly made a vow to God right there on that bed, and he said to God, if you will heal me of this, and you will answer the prayer of Reverend Sherrick, Sherrick Davis, he said, I will commit my life to you, and I will change the way I'm living. He was, at that time, he was known to, he just had nothing to do with the church and nothing to do with God, and the community pretty much knew that. God answered that prayer. God healed A.W. Weekly. In and through the ministrations of my grandfather, Sherrick, on that one particular day, and one particular incident, A.W. Weekly was healed against all odds. And he became quite a man of God. And to this day, the family, the Weekly family, very much involved with this. You know, Albert Weekly, his son, called me a few years ago, and we talked about this sort of thing. You know, I'm very, and boys, listen to this. This is so good that you have this. This was your great-grandfather, Sherrick, who had this church right here in Butler. And so that's an example of, there's a change, wasn't there? There was a change in a circumstance, in a situation, and an event. Now, that's a dramatic demonstration of God's power. But what else does it do? Well, it changes us. Our communication with God is to change us, because why? And prayer, communication with God, was never intended to be just petitions. When you think of prayer, do you think of making requests and petitions to God? It was never intended to be just petitions. Rather, prayer is a gift from God to us. Our communication between us and an all-powerful God is a gift from Him that draws us up into a powerful relationship with Him, so that we are not only changed, but here's the salient point of today's message, and when the prayer requests were coming in today, and what we heard people struggling with. Communication with God is not only to change us, but it is to give us peace. We're after peace. It is the thing that is missing in our world. It is the thing that is missing in our lives. We were never intended to live lives of chaos. I'm thinking back in Genesis, and I'm looking at chapter 3, and I look at that temptation of Adam and Eve, and when they lost communication with God, what was the first thing that also left their lives? Peace. They had conflicts. They had chaos. They had disagreements between themselves. Doesn't that just draw you to live a life of peace? Communication with God, ever and always, was meant to give us this peace. It is not just about petitions. It is about drawn up into a relationship. When you're drawn up into a relationship with somebody, it changes you. And the change that God wants primarily, I believe, to bring into our lives, and your pastor needs this morning, is peace. Because when I'm thinking of Teresa's class this morning, in fact. And Tom, your question was so appropriate about, you know, Tom, if you beg my pardon, Tom said, is it okay, I think, to pray for peace in our lives, in our individual lives? Is that okay? And of course it's okay, because if we don't have individual peace within ourselves, if I don't have peace within myself, I have nothing to give anybody else. I have nothing to give out, because I'm struggling with the turmoil and the chaos in my own life. I think of the story in Matthew. And that struck me this week when I was preparing this message, and I alluded to it last week about, you know, Jesus is on the boat. You know the story so well. With his disciples, Matthew chapter 8. And Matthew says the boat is in a storm. And then Matthew says, and the waves are swamping the boat. Boy, does that speak to you? Is your boat being swamped? Because mine is. And it seems like right after one wave breaks over and you think that it's okay, you turn around and here comes another one out of nowhere. And these disciples are terrified. And they're in chaos, and they have no peace whatsoever. And Jesus is asleep in the bottom of the boat. And I thought, boy, it feels that way sometimes. And it feels like, where are you, Jesus, when these waves are swamping my boat and the stuff is coming at me relentlessly, and Jesus seems to be asleep? Tracking? So what do they do? They communicate. How's your communication with God? How vibrant is it? How often is it? How real is it to you? Don't relegate your prayer time into just a laundry list of petitions to God. That does not build a relationship. Well, that has been my experience. No more than if I have a communication with somebody else and all I do is ask them to do something for me. That's the totality of my communication with that person. Do thus and so for me. That does not build relationships. And I'm going to tell you something else. That does not build peace. Your prayer time can actually... Have you experienced this? You go into a prayer time of petitions, and you can actually leave that prayer time more distraught than when you went in. Do you know why? Because all you're talking about is your stuff. I mean, prayer can't just be trotting out all of our issues and exercising them. Here's everything that's wrong in my life, and I'm going to concentrate on it and focus on it, and I'm going to trot it out, God, and we're going to talk about just this. Although, God still hears that. And Jesus still heard this. Jesus, don't you care? Our boat's being swamped. Wake up! And he does. And he comes on board. Is your boat being swamped? What'd you say, Teresa? Rugged reality?
Rugged reality.
How about that? What's that?
That's Oswald.
Oswald. Rugged reality. Wow. Versus my reality of what it should be. You get it? Is there a gap there for you too? There's a pretty big chasm, isn't it? Of the way things are, the rugged reality, and the way things are supposed to be. And so Jesus comes on and he rebukes the winds and the waves with a word. There it is. There it is. You want peace? It was the word. How much time? Newville, yes, Tim, are you going to harp on that again? Really? Yes, I am. How much time do you spend in the Word? Because it was the Word of Jesus to the winds and the waves swamping that boat that brought the peace. And I love this line in Matthew. He says at the end, when Jesus spoke, and they're terrified, and the boat's being swamped, and Matthew says, and there was a great calm. Does that speak to you? Do you want a great calm? I so want a great calm. I want peace. Can communication with God do that? Yes, says Paul. Yes, says Isaiah. The quote in today's devotional, Isaiah, God says, you, God, will keep him / her in perfect peace. There's a promise. Remember, every promise in Scripture has a condition. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. I looked at that verse 18 years ago. And I said, either it's true or it's not. There's no equivocation. Either that's a true promise by God or it isn't. But the condition that had to be met there on my part was, whose mind is stayed on you. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Yes, says Paul. It's on the back of your devotional. Follow with me, please. How you doing with this opening statement of Paul? Don't worry about anything. Well, I'm worried right now. I'm worried about Rosebud. I'm worried, Sarah's about to. I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about my grandchildren. I'm worried about my wife, I tell you. Sandy made a career. You've been hit. And we've been hit. And the wave just keeps coming. I turn around, here it comes again. And so I'm worried. But Paul says, don't worry. What? Don't worry about what, Paul? Anything. But, well, instead of that, okay, Paul, give me an alternative. Okay, I'll give you an alternative. That's a fair question, Paul says. Yeah, but in everything. Anything and everything. That's inclusive. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, Paul says, do the following. But in everything, note well, and maybe here's where you want to circle. Through, in everything, through prayer and petition. Paul's separating things. He's saying there's prayer, and then he says there's petitions. Well, I thought they were synonymous. I mean, when we pray, that's what we do, right? We make petitions. No, Paul says no, there's a difference. Please plug in and get this. It is just life-changing. No, through prayer and petition. And I'm thinking of Daniel. Remember the Daniel prayer, Daniel 9:3. Daniel says, I read in the book of Jeremiah that the exile was going to last for 70 years, and so I turned my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and petitions. They're different. And Daniel had a peace that we can only envy. Through prayer and petition, oh, not just that, seasoned with sprinkled with what? Thanksgiving, gratitude. Don't worry about anything. But rather, Paul says, but in everything, I'm going to tell you what to do. Through prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Now, you're going to see worry undergo a transformation here in these two verses. Worry is going to morph into something else. Do you want that? Would you like your worry to transform and be morphed into something else? Or do you just want to keep it as worry? But through prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Those are three separate entities. Three separate entities. Prayer, petitions, and thanksgiving. Three separate entities that Paul is saying you must volitionally do if you want your worry to be transformed and morphed into something else. Now, if you want your worry just to stay as worry and you want to hold that close to your breast and you want to nourish it, and some people do. I had a patient in this week and we had a discussion about physical health, and I said to them, there are people who do not want to get well physically. They said, what? I said, oh, absolutely. I run into them all the time. They don't want to get well. You know why? They have found something to orient their life around. Now, you're orienting your life around a particular worry. You're orbiting around it. Now, if you bring these three entities volitionally to God, prayer, I'm going to explain what that is communication with God. Remember, prayer is communication with God. Petitions are bringing requests to God. Nothing wrong with that. Paul invites us to do it. But you've got to season that with thanksgiving. I am so grateful. Worry undergoes a transformation when exposed to Paul's prayer triad. Hey, that's there. Write that one down. Paul's prayer triad. Because that is how, if you expose your worry to Paul's prayer triad, something happens. You see the worry start to dissipate and transform and morph into something else. We'll get to what the else is in a minute. And then Paul says, if you pray this way, here's how you make your request known to God. Look at the next line there. Let your request be made known to God. Let your request be wrapped up in this triad, and that's how you present them to God. Yes, you have petitions. Yes, you got things you want God to deal with. Those are requests. No problem with that. Of course we do that. But Paul says, wrap them around this triad. This is how. This is how you make your request known to God. Follow this template. Communicate. Petitions. Gratitude. When you bring your petitions to God, are you grateful? Because let me tell you, the enemy wants to steal gratitude and thankfulness from you. Doesn't he? The enemy wants to steal peace from you. He stole peace from Paradisal Man. Because when he steals our peace, he also steals our effectiveness in the kingdom. How much time do you spend in the Word? Let your request be made known to God. So here, worry has now changed into, here's the first move, worry has now become request made known to God. It used to be a worry. I exposed it to Paul's prayer triad. And now I see that instead of a worry, I've given that to God. It's a request that God knows about. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Well, God knows about it now. I can let go of it. My kids would come to me with issues, little boys, worrying about their little problems. And if they would make those things known to me, who had the juice, yeah, Teresa says, yeah, you spoiled the boys. Yeah, well, okay. You can judge me on that. But once those requests, those little boys brought those requests and they were known to Dad, they're off running, playing in their tree houses. Let go. Didn't worry about that anymore. So worry has already taken one step. It's no longer a worry. Now it's a request made known to God. Well, that would be good to end right there, right? Oh, no, says Paul. Oh, no, we're going to ratchet that up even higher. We're going to transform that worry even farther. We're going to do what God does best. He turns the stress and the bad things of life, he turns them into good things. That's our God. That's a sovereign, all-powerful God. God doesn't stop there. Verse 7, here's the money verse. Here's the end stage of the worry that you are carrying around every day, that you're waking up with every morning. And the peace of God, what qualify this peace for me, Paul? What's so great about the peace of God? Well, I'll tell you what's so great about it, Paul says. The peace of God which surpasses every thought. Surpasses every thought about what, Paul? Well, what am I talking about? Follow me here, Paul says. I'm talking about worry. And the peace of God, which is more powerful than every thought that you have about what? Anything and everything. Anything and everything. Now there's a peace that surpasses that. We're in a power struggle. I talked about power struggle a couple weeks ago. The power struggle of your request and your things and your worries, the power of that versus the power of God. And that's the power struggle that goes on in my life. Yours? Well, Paul says, look what's happened to your worry. It's now fully transformed. It went to worry, one. It went to, two, a request that is known by God, okay. And here's the terminal. Here's the seminal gift of God. Now that worry has become a peace that surpasses everything and anything. A peace that surpasses. And here's the thing about this peace. It's not a peace that depends on you or me getting our way. Remember, Teresa, what she read? The rugged reality and your expectations of what your life should and could be. And here's the rugged reality. And unless I bridge that gap, I cannot have peace. That's the world's message. That's the world's message. I had a tragic event in our practice about a month ago. Sandy knows about it. It's public knowledge. I can speak about it, and I won't give any names. But a family they were the picture perfect family, and I knew them forever. Children I knew, the parents I knew, and the gap in this man's life was too great between apparently rugged reality and the ideal, and he took his life. And I couldn't have been more stunned or more shocked, because on the surface you look at this, as I said, and everything's great. You see, without this promise, we can get there at warp speed, can't you? You can go into despair rather quickly. No, worry has become a request made known by God, and then that has gone even farther, and that is now surpassing peace, peace of God that surpasses anything I'm worried about. It surpasses any power of everything and anything, everything, every thought. And that peace will guard, look at this, will guard your hearts and minds. Where? I mean, if something's guarded, it's held somewhere, and there are guards posted around it. It's held. Where's the guard? Well, they're in the jail. They're guarded in the jail. Where is our peace given to us by God that plops into our hearts and our minds? It's guarded in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's pretty good credentialing right there, don't you think? And I want you to note something very well here. If you pray this way, Paul says, it doesn't facilitate God's response, it facilitates your response. Prayer, as I said last week, is always, ever, and always intended to be directed at the prayer, us, as much as the prayee, God. Our prayers, if wrapped around Paul's prayer triad, benefit us. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. And you know what that does? That affects how you think, that affects how you feel, and that affects how you function, doesn't it? If your heart and your mind are guarded from worry, that's what Paul's saying here, your heart and your mind will be guarded from worry because there's a surpassing peace that is more powerful than your worry, and it'll affect how you think, which will affect how you feel, which will affect how you function. This is good. Yeah. Paul's prayer triad. Well, what says, Tim, I thought you were going to harp on Scripture. Well, yeah, thanks for reminding me. Yeah, actually, I am. Here's how I do it. I told Dan, I had a phone conversation this week. And I said, I'm going to get practical. Okay, here's how Tim does it. Well, if Tim does it that way, it's got to be right. Right? No. This is just how I do it. And I'm no example for anybody for anything. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Here's how I do it. Communication with God is Scripture reading. Don't you feel that when you read Scripture? It's the Word of God, right? And when I read Scripture, here's my prescription. I get up early because I just don't have time any other time of the day. I just don't have time other in the day. I don't. So I get up early. I communicate with God. First thing, I read Scripture. God and I have dialogue. That's prayer. That's when you're reading Scripture, you're praying. You're communicating with Him. He's speaking to you. You're speaking to Him. Aren't those wonderful times? Don't you get lost in that? Scripture, that's number one, it's communication with God. Scripture is also where you learn about God's power, God's attributes, God's function, God's acts. What did He do? What did He do in history? And do you know what that makes me think of? You talk about gratitude. Paul says, make sure that you get petitions and prayer with gratitude. When you and I read about the acts of God in Scripture and what He did in history, you know what it makes me do? It makes me think what He did in my history. Scripture, thirdly, changes your focus. You see, Paul doesn't say, just don't keep focusing on the anythings and everythings. Don't focus on that. Focus on God. Focus on Him. Scripture changes my focus. Fourthly, Scripture bathes my request with gratitude. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through Scripture reading, I'm going to insert that. Parentheses, prayer. Parentheses, communication with God. How much are you reading Scripture? I'm just not getting any peace. I don't understand. You know, Paul, did you get it right? Paul, did you get it right? Well, I'm going to say back to you, Paul's going to say, well, did you listen to me? I mean, if Paul got it right, we got a tremendous thing here, don't we? If Paul got it right, he is saying, you have access. You have access to surpassing peace of God that's got more power than any and everything. Any and everything. And that will dominate your life, how you think, how you feel, how you function. And then Paul says back to us, are you communicating with God? Or are you just coming to him and you're bringing out the list? Here, God, fix the following. Get back to me. Because if your prayers morph into that, you are not going to have peace. More than often, you know what you're going to have? Frustration. Well, I didn't believe God really existed anyway. He didn't fix anything here on my list, so... Conversely, if my prayers are grounded in scripture reading, which they are, this is how I do it, scripture reading is the undergirding of my petitions. Then it's like Paul says here, your worries and your petitions, whether they're answered or not, really become superfluous because you've discovered such a powerful relationship with this God that it doesn't really matter. And besides that, I know now he knows about it. My little boys knew. Daddy knew about it. End of story. Yes, Paul got it right. Yes. This prescription for surpassing peace is accurate. Yes, you and I can all have this. You know, I stand up here and say this stuff. And I guarantee you tomorrow morning, tomorrow during the day, probably even today, my old nemesis is going to be hammering me. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm asking you to pray for me. And we are going to summate our prayers, our communication, with petitions sprinkled with gratitude for what he has done in my and your lives. Amen? Let's pray. Anoint these words and that we would communicate with you and thereby be changed. Amen.